You know, there's something which is connected to the Exodus that on the first reading it's quite difficult to understand. You read what it actually says and it doesn't immediately sink in what's going on. But it actually has something, quite a good deal to teach us. If you turn over with me to Exodus chapter 4, we'll read this particular account in Exodus chapter 4. It's an account of something that took place as Moses was going to Egypt to actually begin the very process that began the Exodus. And here in Exodus chapter 4 and in verse 22 it says, "And you shall say unto Pharaoh," this is God speaking, or the one that became Jesus Christ speaking to Moses, he says, you shall say to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Eternal, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. And if you refuse to let him go, behold, I'll slay your son, even your firstborn." So he's saying this to Moses to tell that to Pharaoh. And the very next passage then says, "And it came to pass by the way, in the inn, that the Eternal met him and sought to kill him." You think, well, who's him and who's he killing and why? And then Zipporah, that's the wife of Moses, took a sharp stone or a flint and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, "Surely a bloody husband are you to me." And so he let him go. And then she said, "A bloody husband you are because of the circumcision." And then he goes in and the Eternal said to Aaron, "Go to the wilderness." You think, what on earth is it going on? Why put this particular section within the scriptures at this particular juncture? So the question I really want to ask really is, what happened? What actually is going on here when you read this particular account? Why? Why is God actually inserting it here? And also, what can it teach us? So those are the three areas I want to go in. So first of all, let's have a look at what actually happened. Now, it comes after this section that talks about the firstborn being killed in Israel, in Egypt, and it's important that, you know, this particular individual, this son, was presumably Gershon, who was Moses' firstborn son. And it says, "It came to pass by the way in the inn." So they were actually traveling. Moses, his wife, and his family were actually traveling towards Egypt, and his son was there with him. That the Eternal met him and sought to kill him. Now, we don't really sure who met him, being Moses, obviously, and sought to kill him. Who's he killing? Was it Gershon? Was it the firstborn? Or was it, in fact, Moses? Well, it's unclear. But the indication is that he's going to actually kill the son. The son was probably the one that was going to be killed. And then Zipporah took a sharp stone, a flint, because, you know, they didn't have scalpels at that time. What they used instead of scalpels, and if ever you used a flint and broken a flint off, it's just like a scalpel. You know, you cut your finger very, very easily, and they use it instead of a scalpel at that period of time. And they cast they cut off the foreskin of her son. So they circumcised her son, who was whatever age he was, and threw it at the foreskin at the feet of Moses. Because obviously there was a contention in the family. Zipporah didn't want her son circumcised. Moses said, no, he needs to be circumcised. And God then backed him up. And because now you ask the question, well, why? What is actually going on? Well, turn back with me to Genesis 17. Genesis 17. You see, this Exodus was not in isolation by any stretch at all. It was something which was planned many, many years before. And it was fitting in with what was given to the forefathers of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And here in Genesis 17 and in verse 9, it says, "And God said to Abraham, you shall keep my covenant, and therefore you and your seed after you in their generations. And this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he said, he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child of your generations. He that is born in the house or bought of money of any stranger which is not your seed. He that is born in your house and he is bought with money must need be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people, and he has broken my covenant." Now, What was happening was that the kingdom of God was about to be established in Israel, in Palestine. And they're going to go ahead and release them from slavery and take them and physically begin a physical kingdom of God. So physical circumcision was the covenant, was part of the very covenant that was being made with them at that time. And for the leader then to go ahead and not go, and because of contention within the family, to not have this basic fundamental sign or token of the covenant in the flesh of his own son was unthinkable. So God had presumably mentioned it, or the one that became Christ had mentioned it to Moses, and then there was some contention and within the family, because obviously it's not a pleasant thing to have to circumcise your child, and yet God was insistent, and insistent to the point of actually executing the child if necessary, because there is no way that that child was going to go ahead and flaunt his uncircumcised nature when all the rest of the Israel was expected to be circumcised. Now, you say, well, what does it teach us? Well, let's turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. You see, Moses was the leader. He was the leader within Israel. And it was a physical kingdom that was about to be established. It was a physical government. It was a physical kingdom with physical rituals that were to be applied. Even though there was the spiritual law that was there, I mean, there was no question of that. It was a physical kingdom that was going to be established. In our case, it is a spirit-born kingdom, looking forward into the future. We're looking for a spirit-born kingdom that is going to take place, that we literally become spirit beings, and we rule with Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God, in the spirit-born kingdom of God. And the leaders also have got to behave in a certain way. Notice what it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It says, this is a true saying, that if a man desire or... he's going into an office of a bishop. The word bishop isn't really there. It's an overseer. It's somebody who is controlling, who is a head individual within the church. Then he desires a good work, but a bishop, an overseer, must then be blameless. The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Now, these are the qualities necessary for a ministry, for anybody going into the ministry. And this is something that before ordination, those that are in authority would have to assess. Not given to wine, no striker, that means he doesn't solve discussions with his fists. Not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. And it says, one that rules well his own house. One that rules well his own house. And this was a problem because Zipporah was actually causing problems within that household. Now, her father was a priest of Midian, but he wasn't an Israelite. He was a Hebrew, but he wasn't an Israelite. A son of Eber, but he wasn't an Israelite. And therefore, there are certain ideas coming across from her father that presumably didn't involve circumcision. One that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So this principle also applies. Now, as far as we're concerned today, obviously, physical circumcision is not demanded of us. It was clearly addressed by the church in Acts 15, and it was specifically dealt with, and the inspiration was given by God, by Jesus Christ, by giving the Holy Spirit to individuals that were uncircumcised. And the Jews were absolutely dumbfounded that that was going to be the case. But that was shown that the physical circumcision for this spirit-born kingdom is not required. But nevertheless, the time of Moses, it was required because it was a physical kingdom that they were going to go into. And if the leader had to be physically circumcised. But, as it brings out here in 1 Timothy, if we are to be kings and priests, if we are going to be leaders in the future within this spirit-born kingdom, we have got to be spiritually circumcised. The sin has got to be cut away from us. And it even extends to the way in which we look after and we lead our families as well. That our families also have got to be led in that same way. so that there is the correct foundation for the coming spiritual kingdom of God.